There was quite a lot of hostility in the anti-apartheid movement to the formation of a women's committee. And in fact, the women who were in the women's committee were quite similar in that we were all younger. We were all probably in our mid-20s to mid-30s. So older women in the anti-apartheid movement didn't join the women's committee. And I think at the time we were all, most of us didn't have children. That was another feature, is that the kind of links between us were sustained when we started to have children. I think it was something that was generated in London, but I think that, looking through the Women's Committee newsletters, I can see there's correspondence with other women in Leeds and in other big cities. So I think that kind of groupings of women who were mobilising around women's issues, which were focused partly on health, they were focused on women in prison, they were focused on the Depo-Provera, which was a drug that was being used in a kind of forced family plan, a contraceptive drug, but it had really, really bad side effects, and it was being used in Zimbabwe and South Africa. So there was campaigns against Depo-Provera, there were campaigns against women in prison. There were campaigns around the pay of women workers and the discrimination against women workers. And there was quite a lot of solidarity with the ANC Women's League in SWAPO and women in Angola and Mozambique. So there were those issues that women everywhere, you know, women around the world had political struggles in common. And there were a number of comments and quite robust discussions about whether the Women's Committee was divisive, why it should be there, and what was the purpose. And looking through the Women's Committee newsletters, there are discussions about this and arguments made as to why a Women's Committee is important.